Scripture reading on this morning will be found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. If you are there, you will find these words. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and combated by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Good morning. Glad to see everyone here with us this morning. As you can see, we have a couple of young men passing our new plans of work out. This morning we'll just breeze through this real quick. Just kind of introduce you to it again, as we do each year, and I have a lesson that will go with that this morning. If you have your plan of work, I invite you to turn to the page just after the table of contents, to page 3. And let this serve as our introduction to the lesson this morning. To the work, let's build together. Friends, our theme, as you look at the front, at the cover this year, step by step, brick by brick, we are building for eternity. What are we going to do about the work at 9th and Main? Friends, I've been preaching full time since 2006. I began preaching before that as I was in the school of preaching. And quite frankly, friends, from the bottom of my heart, I can't tell you or remember a time in, I guess what you might term my preaching career, when I've been as excited about a work going forward as I am now. We established an eldership in October of last year. We just put in some new deacons. Things are on their way up. I'm excited. And friends, I hope that you're excited too. As we look together here to the work, let's build together, building for eternity. Whether it is step by step like Enoch or brick by brick like Nehemiah, the servant of God is always looking to roll up his sleeves and put his hands to the plow in the vineyard of God. It is this remarkably simple formula that sets the foolish and the wise man apart. Matthew 7:21 and following. Those who hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken to wise men. Those who hear these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. The wise is compared to a man who dug deep and founded his house upon a rock. The rains descended, the winds blew, and the floods came and beat on that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. The foolish he compares to a man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the winds blew, the floods came and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The difference between the wise and the foolish was not that one class heard while the other did not, but that one class did what was required in the teaching of Jesus while the other did not. The whole matter turned on doing or not doing what the Lord commanded. Now, friends, in broad terms, the overall purpose for every Christian and for every congregation is to glorify God, or we might say to make God look good as He really is, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. We are to show others by our lives, that is, our attitudes, our words, our deeds, how great God truly is. That overall goal is accomplished as we seek to fulfill both individually and corporately the great commandment to love God with all with our total person, with all that we are, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, Matthew 22:37-39, and the great commission we find in Matthew 28:19-20. Which is really just an extension of the second greatest command. If we love other people, we will do all we can to bring them the message so that we might obey the gospel and be saved. We will, to some extent, friends, be held amenable in the last judgment for the moral and religious condition in which we leave the community where we reside. What condition will we leave this community as we depart? Step by step, brick by brick, let us build for eternity. As you thumb through the plan of work, you'll see a bio of each one of our shepherds. You'll see a note from the shepherds. I'm not going to take time to read that. A note from the ministers that you can read when you have that opportunity. Of course, you've got my pretty mug on the next page that you can look at whenever your heart desires. You got the deacons on the next page, and their bios giving you a little bit of information about our new deacons. The next page is our 2014 goals. Now, you'll notice if you take last year's plan of work and this year's plan of work, not much has changed, friends, and there's a reason for that. Our goals as Christians pretty much stay the same year in and year out, don't they? And so, friends, I want us to take these goals seriously. And really the purpose for this year, friends, is to help us help one another build together and to build this congregation up to what God would have it to be. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a moment. But I encourage you to take these goals and make them not just the church's goals, friends, but your goals. They are to be your goals. They're our goals together. And if each one of us makes it our own personal goal to meet these goals, then the church at Ninth and Main will meet those goals. You see, our summer series on the following page, I'm excited about that. We're going to be having our speakers deal with Nehemiah chapter by chapter, bringing out some great points about that. That's basically what our theme is based upon, is the book of Nehemiah. This year, as Nehemiah, went back to Jerusalem and rebuilt the city. Excited about our speakers this summer. After that, of course, we don't have enough speakers to cover the entire book. The following Sunday, I will pick up the series from Nehemiah with Nehemiah chapter 8 in August. We have some great speakers for our gospel meeting this year. We've got B.J. Clark coming in April, Don Blackwell in September. I'm excited about that, and we've got some great speakers lined up for the next few years to come. Our Ladies' Day, excuse the typo. It was my job to proofread, and I skimmed instead of proofreading. We have Gina Braswell, not Brazil, coming for our Ladies' Day. Excited about Gina being here with us. I tell you, at the bottom of this page is something I'm particularly excited about, is our new Bible class curriculum coming this fall. We're going to start just any time now having classes for our teachers to prepare them for implementing this new curriculum, Engraving Heavenly Truths. Now, friends, it's exciting. Everybody that I've ever talked to about that particular curriculum has loved it. This particular curriculum, friends, it has a lot to do with rote learning, that is repetition, friends. But there's a lot of it that we need to know. We need to go over. And these truths, friends, are going to be beneficial not only to us, friends, but as we go out and talk to others about the gospel. So Engraving Heavenly Truths will begin in September. So looking forward to that. Please keep that in your prayers. Our Vacation Bible School, excited about that. Of course, we've already started our Digging Deeper series at the top of that page, but our Vacation Bible School, let's go ahead and be keeping that in our prayers, looking forward to that in June. And then there's our Charting the Course page. I'll let you read that again as you have time. Friends, how are we as family, as members of the Lord's church here at Ninth and Main, how will we go about getting to the work? Paul Edison's song a moment ago, to the work, we are workers of God, or servants. And friends, as I look out at the congregation this morning, I see a group of people that I'm happy to be associated with, that I love with all my heart. You have made a place here for Ashley and myself and now Jensen that I am grateful to be able to call my home. For friends, we have work to do. We have work to do, and we need to get to it. How do we go about that? Friends, as I began to think about a lesson this morning to go with our plan of work, I began to think about some things that every congregation needs. And we've talked about, in time past, we've talked about discipleship, and recently we've talked about leadership and the series that we will continue tonight. But as I began to think of something else, friends, something that could make this personal to each one of us, friends, as we think about the church and the work of the church, there's something that we all as members need to take, and that's ownership. We need to take ownership. Every growing congregation needs ownership. And let me explain what I mean by that. Absentee members, apathetic members, and antagonistic members, they are a detriment to a local congregation. Now friends, if you're only here one Sunday out of the month, I would probably classify you an absentee member. Or every other month, whatever the case might be. Apathetic is, you just fill a pew. Don't know any other way to put it. Antagonistic is backbiting, gossip. If you happen to fall in one of those three categories, friends, I say this because I love you, but because also I want you to wake up. Shame on you. If you're an absentee member, an apathetic member, you just don't really care, you're just here whenever because that's what you're supposed to do, or you're an antagonistic member, you don't really have anything ever nice to say. Shame on you. Because, friends, you're not helping the work of the church at night tonight. So that's not the purpose of the lesson this morning, is to harp on those three categories. I want to talk to those this morning that are willing to roll up their sleeves, along with myself and our elders and our deacons, and get to work, and to build this congregation up. Friends, we're not just worried about numbers. We're worried about our spiritual strength. But still, I look at the congregation this morning. I look out over the pews, friends, and I see in several pews that don't have anybody in them. We can fix that. You know that? By getting to work. By talking to others about the Ninth and Main Church of Christ, but more specifically about the gospel of Jesus Christ, by letting folks know that we are an active congregation, that we're going to do the work. Now friends, what I mean by ownership this morning, we mean buying into the work of the local congregation, being committed to it, having a vested interest in it. Friends, this is your home congregation. It's yours. This congregation is your home congregation. Nate read for us a few minutes ago, Ephesians 4 and verse 16. Here's what I take away from that verse, friends, is that I, Josh Romo, I play a vital role in determining the success or failure of this congregation. Now friends, that's every member. That's Randy Scott. That's Dennis Reed. That's Hilliard Ditmore. That's everybody that is a member of this congregation. You have a vital role in determining the success or failure of this congregation. Did you know that? Every single member is crucial to the work of the church. You don't believe me? Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and notice with me verses 4 and 5. Notice what Paul says to the Roman church. Romans 12, 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. What is Paul saying? Friends, we all have a role to play. We all have a role to play. Jesus puts it maybe into better perspective. If all were a nose, where were the seeing? Or the hearing? Or the tasting? Where would it be? If all were the eyes, where's the smelling? If all were the ears, where's everything else? You see, we all have a role to play. Some of us are hands, some of us are feet. Some of us are mouthpieces. We all have a role to fill, friends. Some of us work behind the scenes, nobody ever really knowing what we're doing. Somebody has to write a check to pay for these lights. Somebody has to change those lights out every once in a while. Somebody has to keep this building clean. Somebody has to mow the yard. Folks work behind the scenes. Friends, the point is we all fill a different role. You look at any sports team, they all play different positions because one is better at a particular position than someone else. I was a catcher all through high school, into college. I was good at it. I'm not afraid to say that. I took pride in how I played my position. I would make a lousy shortstop. I'm not that fast. Feel what I'm saying? I couldn't pitch. I couldn't throw that hole. I could get rid of a ball. But the fastest I ever threw a ball was about 82 miles per hour. Not good enough to be a pitcher at the college level. See what I'm saying? We all play a role. We all have something important to do. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 14. Look at what Paul says to the Corinthian brethren. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Friends, what does Paul say there? We are all part of the body. We all serve a function. I want you to think about this for a moment. You're hammering a nail into a board and you miss the nail and you hit your thumb. Now obviously you feel the pain in your thumb, but the rest of your body reacts, doesn't it? You throw the hammer away, you grab your thumb with your other hand, and if you're like me, you grit your teeth. Some of you bite your tongue. Others do something. You have pain. Your whole body hurts, right? That's the idea of a body, isn't it? It's all together. We each play a vital, a crucial role in the work of the Lord's church. I want to discuss a couple of things with you this morning. First of all, what ownership is and is not. When we talk about vesting ourselves in the work of the Lord's church, making this and understanding this is my home congregation and buying into the work of the local congregation, being committed to it, having that vested interest in it. Friends, ownership, number one this morning, is God's people standing up for God's cause. Ownership is God's people standing up for God's cause. Turn with me, if you will, to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. And I want you to read with me verses 17 and 18. Nehemiah 2, 17 and 18. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Friends, will you stand as these folks did with Nehemiah, as Nehemiah did? Will you stand up for God's cause? Will you roll up your sleeves and get to work? Look at 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 29. David is being berated by his brother. David's simple response as he is trying to find out what's going on with Goliath. Why are we, as David may be thinking, why are we allowing this giant, this heathen, to challenge God's people? Why are we allowing this to happen? He's been out here for 40 days challenging God's people, and nobody's done anything about it. Our king sits cowering in a tent. Now, David didn't say that, but that's where he was. He's cowering in a tent. Supposed to be leading God's people, and he's nowhere to be found. David is finally brought before Saul. But in verse 29, David says something here that ought to strike home with all of us. David says, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Friends, I want you to think about that for just a moment. David comes into camp to bring his brethren some food. And he sees what's going on. This Philistine, not just your ordinary Philistine, but a giant, was standing out between the two camps, and as the custom was in the day, sometimes anyway, what would happen is this king would choose his champion, this king would choose his champion, and rather than making their entire armies fight, they would have champion fight champion, and who the winner of that fight, the losing army would surrender to the winning. That was the idea behind what was taking place with Goliath at this point. And David says, why? Why are we allowing this to happen? This man is a heathen. He does not know our God. And really, by challenging us, who is he challenging? God himself. And so David says, what have I done wrong? By asking why we allow this to happen, is there not a cause? David, friends, the point is, David was willing to stand what no one else would. He showed himself to be a man after God's own heart. He stood with the cause and for the cause of God. Look at Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, and look at verse 8. I want you to notice what happens here with Isaiah. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Is that your attitude, friend? You as an individual member here at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ, you have been called in this particular community to go and spread the gospel. What's your attitude about it? Do you have the attitude and the willingness of Isaiah to say, Lord, here am I. Pick me. Send me. Let me go. Will you stand up for God's cause and take ownership in this community? Number two, ownership, friends, is God's people immersing themselves in God's work. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. And look with me at verse 6. Notice what they did here. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. Why? Why were they able to do this so quickly? Look at the end of the verse. For the people had a mind to work. Now turn over to chapter 6 and look at verse 15. Chapter 6 and verse 15 says, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. My friends, think about this for a moment. I understand we don't live in walled cities anymore. But if you go back and you look at history, it was essential that a city have a wall. If a city didn't have a wall, it was full of thieves and murderers and everything else because you couldn't keep the lawless element out. And that city would be subject to being looted all the time. The women would be subject to their men being killed and themselves being raped and killed later. It was not a pretty picture during the day if you lived outside of the city walls. Many people would live inside the city and then go out to their land to do their farming during the day, but be back in the gates before nightfall. Now, I don't know exactly the square mileage of Jerusalem, but friends, I can tell you this, that wall was not small. It was not small. But friends, sometimes it takes a construction crew working every day, except for maybe Sundays, nearly 52 days to finish a house. And these folks finished an entire wall around an entire city in 52 days. These folks had a mind to work, didn't they? They had a mind to work. But friends, just think about this as well. Not only did they go about building the wall, but they did so while they had to carry weapons. They couldn't just concentrate on the wall because they had to worry about having to defend themselves at any given moment as well. They put their mind into it, though. They immersed themselves in their work and defending their work and going about the Lord's work. Taking ownership, friends, means that we immerse ourselves in His work. Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. Here's the key. Zealous of good works. You know what it means to be zealous, friends? A fanatic. That's what it means. If you're zealous about something, you're a fanatic. You ever thought about it like that? What does that mean? It means it's something that I get excited about for one. Got a favorite baseball team, football team, basketball team? You try to watch them every time they play. You got your favorite players. That's something that you get excited about. You know their stats. You know who the best player on the team is. You know what pieces you need to make your team better. You follow the rumor mill, the trade rumors, and you're fanatic about it. That's the idea. Friends, when's the last time you were like that about God's Word? When's the last time that congregation, whether it was here or somewhere else, was going to have a work day or door knocking or a men's breakfast or a ladies' day or a youth day or a vacation Bible school, a gospel meeting? And friends, I did whatever I had to do to clear my calendar to be there. You've got in your hands this morning a plan of work. It gives you the exact dates of when our gospel meetings are, when our ladies' day is, when our vacation Bible school is, on our year at a glance. You've got through the calendar, you've got when the camps are. Friends, I would advise us, if we're really serious about the work here at 9th and Main, is to go home this afternoon Or maybe wait till tomorrow when you've got more time to sit down and look at your calendar and take your plan of work out. Well, BJ's going to be here in April. From this date to this date, I want to make sure I've got that too. I'm going to be in town. Our vacation Bible school starts on June the 9th. I'm going to be sure that I'm here to help. When's the last time, friends, we felt that way about the church and His work behind the name? I'm going to do whatever I've got to do. We do this on Sundays during football season. We do it nearly every day of the week during baseball season. My team's playing. I got to make sure that I get all my work done so I can watch them. Why can't we be like that about the Lord's work? Be zealous for good works. Be a fanatic about it. Friends, you've got atheists and homosexuals and other agendas out there. And the folks that are part of those agendas, friends, they're fanatic. They are militant about pushing those agendas. Friends, if we weren't supposed to be militant about the Lord's work, to be zealous about the Lord's work, to be a fanatic about the Lord's work, why does He compare us to soldiers so often? You know, soldiers are constantly training. They're never done. Even while they're supposed to be in battle ready, you know what they're doing? They're training. There's something that they can do better. They might be in the weight room or maybe they're running. They're doing something to make themselves better, getting ready for the battle coming. Friends, the battle's not coming, it's here. And quite frankly, many of us are unprepared for it. It's time for us to get ready. To be zealous for the work of God. To stand up for His work, for His cause. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 10, Paul writes to the Ephesians in saying, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 58, Paul writes there, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding," where? "In the work of the Lord." Friends, that takes more than filling a pew on Sunday morning. That means rolling up our sleeves and using a little bit of elbow grease. Getting to work. Seeing that the gospel is spread in this community. Friends, let me tell you something about ownership and what it is not. Ownership is not God's people reducing the church to a side attraction in their lives. Ownership is not God's people reducing the church to a side attraction in their lives. Let's go back to Nehemiah for just a moment. Nehemiah chapter 3, and let's look at verse 5. Nehemiah 3 and verse 5. "And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles," notice this, "their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord." Let the peasants handle. They thought they were too good for menial labor. Friends, none of us are too good for menial labor in the kingdom of God. We've all got something to do. God requires work of each one of His servants, of each one of His followers. His work, His church, friends, is not to be an afterthought. It's not to be something that is just, well, it's convenient for me to go. Friends, this should be a priority. They built the wall in 52 days, friends, because it was the only thing that mattered to them at the moment. Nothing else mattered. Sanballat didn't matter. They didn't care what Sanballat might throw at them. We were going to get this done. Friends, the world can throw whatever they want to throw at us. If our mind is to the Word, we can build a wall. If our mind is upon the work of God, friends, there's nothing that can bring us down. We can keep on keeping on. That's what ownership is. Number two. What do you, as an owner, what do you give? What do we give as owner? What owners give? Number one, owners give faithful, devoted members. We give, as faithful, devoted members, we give of our time. We give of our time. Look at Ephesians 5 and verse 16. Ephesians 5 and verse 16. Paul says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time, friends. Think about that word redeeming for a moment. What does it mean? It means to buy back, right? Buy back the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Friends, what does that mean? We only live so long upon this earth. We only have so much time in which to do the Lord's work. There's another song that we sing, Work, for the night is coming. Which, friends, we will have no more light in which to work. Let's work, friends, while we have time. Faithful, devoted members give of their time for gospel meetings, for door knockings, for vacation Bible school, whatever needs to be done. Mowing the yard, preparing the animals for the Lord's table. We give of our time. That's part of the sacrifice that we make in service to our Lord. Matthew 6 and verse 33, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Friends, the kingdom is to be a priority. It is to be the priority. Number two, owners give, as we have done this morning, of our money. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, Paul writes to the Corinthians concerning the giving of their means. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Friends, we are to give of our means. And friends, again, let me say this. God is not to be an afterthought when it comes to giving of our means. He deserves our best. He demands our best. He demands, friends, as He has throughout all time, our first fruits. Not what's left at the end of the harvest. He demands the first fruits. Friends, number three. Faithful, devoted members give of their energies and their efforts. I want you to turn with me for a moment to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and read with me verses 5 through 11. Faithful, devoted members give of their energies and their efforts. And beside this, giving all diligence, Peter writes, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are we giving enough of ourselves in the work of the Lord? Friends, that's our plea this morning. Let us join hands and build for eternity. Let us take ownership for ourselves within this congregation. And be sure, friends, that I am part of the congregation growing going forward. Don't be absentee. Don't be apathetic and don't be antagonistic. Friends, be a working, functional, positive member. And let's build with one another, seeking first the kingdom of God, step by step and brick by brick, building for eternity. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song. Let's read the same invitation song here in just a moment. I'm excited. I am. I am ready to see what this year holds. I'm ready to get to work beside my brothers and sisters at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ. We've got so many things that we aspire to do. We've got so many things that we want to do, friends, but that's not going to happen if we don't work together. If we don't roll up our sleeves and work beside one another and get behind one another and encourage one another to do the work of the Lord. But friend, if you're here this morning and you want to be a part of something special, if you're here this morning and you want to be a part of the Lord's work, if you're here this morning, and friends, and you want to be a part of the family of God, you can do that by putting Christ on in baptism, allowing Him to add you to His church, rolling up your sleeves, friends, and getting to work. Friends, would you obey the gospel this morning? Would you put Christ on in baptism, arising again to walk in newness of life? Do you believe that He is the Son of God? If that's the case, what's keeping you from repenting of your sin, confessing Him before men, and being immersed in water? What's holding you back? Friends, nothing this world has to offer should ever keep you from your Lord and Savior. Would you obey His gospel this morning? Friend, it may be that you're here and you've done that. You once heard the gospel preached and you believed it with all your heart. You repented of your sin, you confessed Christ, but for whatever reason, after you were baptized, you fell away. You stopped confessing Christ. You didn't make God and His work a priority. Would you make Him so this morning? Would you rededicate your life to Him? Friend, if you have a need, whether it's to obey the gospel, to repent of sin, or dear friend, if you just need the prayers of the church, come home.